if you tried to be like God out of your own whim, you're not going to come close to his standard. A Jesus plus gospel is a false gospel. And we definitely want to be careful that we don't fall under that. We don't want to build our house on sand. We need a solid foundation. On today's podcast, I'm going to share with you why we need our foundation on the rock. Stay with us. Hey guys, and welcome to this week's Grace and Truth. I'm a grateful, gospel-centered disciple of Jesus Christ who struggles yet perseveres, and my name is Dave. I hope and pray that you're doing well. Today we are continuing a two-part podcast entitled Rocks and Sandcastles. This was originally broadcasted live on Facebook on June 14th, 2020. Now let's get back to the original broadcast already in progress. The spiritual disciplines that I mentioned earlier, prayer, fasting, meditating, and all of these things, those are not scripture. Now, it'd be great to practice them, but they're not scripture. And if you add the spiritual disciplines, primarily in the way that the spiritual formation movement approaches this concept to the study of God's word, you're basically wanting to follow Christ and do the spiritual disciplines in order to be more like Christ. The spiritual disciplines are not capable of doing that. It's the Word of God that does that. Adding the spiritual disciplines, especially if they're seen as the spiritual formation movement sees it, is a form of a Jesus plus gospel. And if you tried to be like God out of your own whim, you're not going to come close to his standard. A Jesus plus gospel is a false gospel. And we definitely want to be careful that we don't fall under that. Now, here's some key points here. If scripture is not the foundation of your walk, it's doomed for disaster. There's no substitute for studying God's word. And meditating on scripture is good too, but it can't stop there. You want to let the author speak his original intent. That's where Bible study comes into play. I remember talking about being in the small group that was utilizing spiritual formation with my first sponsor, and I told him what had happened, as well as the fact that I thought it was a Bible study, but it wasn't. And they were talking about the Sunday message. I remember him telling me, I call him Big Bro, "Little Bro, that sounds kind of shallow." That's exactly what I thought. And that's why we need to be careful about who we listen to, because Satan always has a way of trying to make us hear things that may sound like it's from God or may sound like it's biblical, but it's actually his way of deceiving us. God actually speaks to us through his word. He doesn't speak to us by just basically going into our ears like that. He does use his Holy Spirit to work through us. But most of the stuff that comes into our minds usually is not necessarily very good. I know, because most of the stuff that I think sometimes aren't necessarily that good. Now, I want to use three examples when it comes to being rooted into God's word and to really discerning what is true and what is not true. Earlier today, I heard two messages that were so profound and so true to the text. The first one is from John Wodetsky from Castro Valley First Baptist Church. And it was on 1 Corinthians 7. Now, that's a controversial passage because a lot of people take that passage out of context. They usually use that passage as a club, as a way to impose singleness on people, which is not okay. In fact, Paul had warned Timothy about people who would try to forbid marriage in 1 it's in the book of 1 Timothy. In fact, oddly enough, I was, ever since my small group has been studying the book of Genesis, I've been learning a lot in our study, and I tend to listen better as a facilitator than as a participant. The moment we started studying, it gave me this desire to want to read God's word. And in one of the passages that I looked at while I was reading 1 Timothy, I was just reading it, I came across this, which is so, so important. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. I don't know about you, but I meet a lot of people who've been trying to discourage me from desiring to be married, and a lot of the times, they usually have strayed away from the faith. So I'm kind of glad I didn't listen to them. There was even a book called I Kissed Dating Goodbye, which I'm so glad is off the bookshelves. And sadly, the author not only recanted, but he also left the faith. I kind of knew he was a heretic, but that's just me. But you see, the point is, we have to make sure that who we listen to is reputable. And we always have to use scripture to make sure that, or to test what everybody is saying. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul says this: do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now, Joe Jewell from Valley Community Church had taught a message on the gospel according to Mark. And one example that he gave that I thought was so profound was the parable of the sower. Now, you have to remember, many of us in the faith want to try to earn people's favor. But one of the things that we have to be aware of is that we can't please them. A lot of people are trying to be people pleasers, especially in the church. And that's a problem, because the reality is some people will accept it, others won't. Listen to the parable of the sower. Verse 3 of Mark chapter 4. Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed, and some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, and since it had no depth of soil, and when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into the good soil, and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears, let him hear. Some people are going to accept truth, others won't. That's the way it is. But remember, you're not responsible for how they respond. You're responsible for how you are to be used by God. One thing that I have been encouraged by ever since being commissioned to plant the group that I'm leading now is how we have built our foundation on the rock and how we have been utilizing OIA in our study. Here's our version of the Q's and Q's. The Q's and Q's are normally the small group material that Valley Community Church uses when they do their comm groups. And the name of my small group is actually based on comm groups, and the Q's and Q's are based on their Q's and Q's as well. And our group, of course, is called Intercomm Bible Fellowship. And intercomm means intercommunity, intercommunication, intercommunion. And here is a copy of our version of the Q's and Q's. I know it's backwards, but let me just go ahead and read them to you. So we have three elements and prompts per element: go, grow, and serve. The go aspect is fellowship, where we engage with one another and see how we're doing and catch up on how we're doing. And then we pray before we start the study. And then we have grow, and then we go to drawing near. We've been utilizing the services of Grace to You, and MacArthur has done some has incredible questions that have been helpful for our study of God's Word. And we only need to use just about one or two of them, because I'll show you why in a moment. The next prompt is called Observe. Read the passage aloud. And we read the passage aloud and we ask the question, what does it say and what stands out to you when you read this passage? And then we can use one of the deep cues. Here's an example of a deep cue. Why did God rename Abram and Sarai? And what does this symbolize? And then we go to interpret. We read the passage again silently in our heads for 5 minutes and then write down questions and then talk about what does it mean and do you have any questions? And then we can use one of the deep cues for that as well. There's four deep cues per prompt, observe, and interpret, with the exception of apply, because apply, we ask, how do we apply this to our lives as believers? And then there's two deep cues, which is good because we're not focusing on ourselves. We're focusing on the Bible when we do this. And then we go to the last element, which is called serve. Now, there is a prompt here called one anothering. Now, one anothering came from VCC. And usually in their comm groups, they ask that question at the beginning of their comm groups. We ask it at the end because we believe that it is great to talk about how do we apply this to our lives. Okay, now that we've talked about how we apply this, let's put it into practice. How can we love or serve one another this week? Maybe there's somebody who needs help with moving. Maybe someone needs help with their lawn or anything. This is where we put it into practice, and then we pray for each other. I have found that this method has helped our group so much, and our group has been growing as a result. I mean, we've seen a lot of fruit as a result of this format. Some examples are just yesterday, we got to send some notes of encouragement to my grandmother who's not saved, and it really was so heartwarming to be able to do that for her. Another example is a small group leader of one of the small groups that we pray for as part of our prayer time was in the hospital a few weeks ago. And when we found out about this, we immediately prayed for him and his wife. Now, originally I was going to call one of his group members to ask if we could do something to help her out in some way because she's a widower. But she said she was fine and gave us the information about this. And that's when we had this desire to want to do that. No, I'm sharing this as a testament of how God has been able to work through our group. And I'm going to be candid. I'm very hesitant about sharing stuff like this because of that. But at the same time, though, I want to make I'm using it as an example so I can teach others. All I can say is that because we chose to have our foundation on the rock, which is the Bible, that's why our group is still thriving, and that's why we have been seeing all this fruit. Not because of anything I've done, not because of anything the group's done, but because of what God has done through this group. How? Because we wanted to make sure that our foundation was built on solid rock. We did not build our small group on the spiritual disciplines. Because if we built them on the spiritual disciplines, our group would have collapsed. Our group would have suffered. And we don't fix people in our group either. We believe that only God, through the power of His Holy Spirit, fixes people. And we don't give advice either, unless they ask us for it, or if we have their permission. If we don't have their permission, and if we don't ask, we don't give them advice. And I'm going to be candid. I'm very grateful that we built our foundation on the rock. We wanted to make sure that our group was that way we could continue to be who God had called us to be. Has it been easy? No. It's been difficult. but we're still thriving and we're still being used for his glory. I'd like to close with prayer as well as, I'm not going to sing this to you, but I just want to read the first verse and the chorus of a hymn that I found to be in recent years, in recent months actually, my theme song when it comes to our small group, Intercom Bible Fellowship. It's called The Solid Rock. Now, you may have heard of the song Cornerstone from Hillsong. I don't even listen to Hillsong anymore. But most of the lyrics from Cornerstone were actually based on The Solid Rock. But I love that song, The Solid Rock, primarily because of the refrain. Because as it's a living testimony of how I need to build my foundation on Scripture and not based on any man-made ideology like spiritual formation. Here's what it says. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Let's have our foundation built on the rock and not on sand, everyone. Bow your heads with me, will you please? Lord, help us today. Help us to understand the importance of building our foundation on the rock, building it on your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. You speak to us through your word. Help us to listen to you through studying, by reading your word, by studying your word and applying your word to our lives, to hide it in our hearts that we may not sin against you. Father, we recognize that we do sin. It's part of our human nature. Remind us that we are not defined by what we do, and that we're not defined by our sin either. We are defined by you and you alone, in Christ alone, where our hope is found. You are our light, our strength, our song. We love you, Lord, and we thank you that you are still with us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's another live broadcast where I give some added resources that I hope and pray will help you. This was from June 27th, 2020. A couple weeks ago, I did a talk called Rocks and Sandcastles, and it talked about how when we start a group or when we start any ministry whatsoever, that we need to have its foundation built on the rock rather than on sand. And for my small group, Intercom, we build our foundation on a rock, which is our Bible. The Bible is our rock, and that is our foundation for our group. Now, I had mentioned that I would recommend some books that might help you as an alternative to other books that you may have heard of, because I had mentioned how the spiritual formation movement has a lot of books that talk about doing spiritual practices, but these practices are very new age and mystic in their practices, and those are not acceptable under any circumstances. They are dangerous. What are you talking about, by the way, you may be wondering? Well, the books that I would avoid would be The Spirit of the Disciplines by Willard and The Celebration of Disciplines by Foster. So if you don't recommend those books, Dave, you may be wondering, what books do you recommend? Well, I finished a book a couple weeks ago called 5 Things Every Christian Needs to Grow. And there's another book, it's only available on paperback. There's no audiobook version or ebook version of it currently, But I just got a paperback version of it, and I'm enjoying it right now. It's called Out of Formation, and in it, the author, Gary Gilley, explains each of the practices of the spiritual formation movement and how they actually bring people away from the gospel, and instead he brings up some alternatives to those practices, and in it he basically lists four: prayer, scriptures, fellowship, and transforming life. The spiritual disciplines from the spiritual formation movement usually have a consistency of, let me count, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and there's more than that, but there's an old saying, less is more, and I couldn't agree more in the context of disciplines. The spiritual disciplines from the spiritual formation movement are very far from the biblical disciplines that we as Christians should be holding to. You can tell there's like 8 or 12 from Willard or Foster, but when it comes to reliable teachers like Gilley or Sproul, there's only like 4 to 5. I mean, that's all you need. I mean, in his book, 5 Things Every Christian Needs to Grow, R.C. Sproul describes only 5 disciplines: Bible study, prayer, worship, service, and stewardship. That's it. That's it. You don't need to do Lectio Divina. You don't need to do like, oh, this repeating passages like a mantra. No. That's ridiculous. That's very Eastern in thought. So I would recommend these books to you, and it's my hope and prayer that that you will find them to be helpful, especially in your walk with the Lord. You have to remember, there is a proper way to interpret the scriptures, and there's also a biblical form of sanctification, which is God continually working through you when it comes to your walk with Him. Justification is where He declares you an unrighteous person. I'm unrighteous. I'm not perfect. So you're not alone. A person who is sinful by nature, just because of their relationship with Christ. Sanctification is the process where God is continually working through you. And the way He works through you is through a proper understanding of His Word. And He gives you that desire to study His Word. He gives you that desire to pray. He gives you that desire to worship Him. See, that's the difference. Whereas with the spiritual formation movement and works-based systems like Roman Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy, they're focused on works-based systems. And I don't know about you guys, but for somebody like me who struggles with Asperger's, that's exhausting. Trying to do things out of my own whim. It just doesn't work like that. So again, I would strongly encourage you to check out those books. Out of Formation by Gary Gilley, 5 Things Every Christian Needs to Grow by R.C. Sproul, and of course, of humongous importance, your Bible. All right, guys, hope these were helpful, and I'll post links to those books later on. Thanks for listening. You can contact me at my website, chewmadenew.com, or you can call me at 510-516-CHEW. That's 510-516-2439. Or you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And do you know someone who's hurting and needs hope? Maybe you're listening and need hope. Well, regardless, check out my story from Celebrate Recovery on YouTube. If you were encouraged by it and learned something from it, please share it with others and use the hashtag Gospel-Centered Autism Awareness whenever you do so. You can find my story on YouTube as Celebrate Recovery Testimony Dave Chu, or you can go to chewmadenew.com and click on the link that says, "Click here to watch my testimony." Until next time, peace out and God bless. Cincos!